Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
Welcome to the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashdown, and let's start with a little bit of Desiree.
Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted, don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger.
Bit of Desiree for you. Sorry, just adjusting myself, standing up like a young DJ, which I'm not. If you missed that intro, you are listening to the Funny Mummies, the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. We've got a proper broadcaster on today, and I sort of feel a little bit more nervous than usual. I'm Hattie Ashdown, and how are you? Hope you've managed to have a hot cup of tea today, and not one that's been warmed up 16 times in the microwave. A treat that I managed to have this week as my big kid, the biggest one, started school and the baby at Childminder. Well, only one day a week. I'm not one of the Kardashians. Not yet, anyway. It's been a tough 6 weeks. School holidays, for those that don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Mainly because a lot of the time alone with these two children of different ages and needs. One demanding I get stuff for him all day, does nothing I ask, and if I do spend any time away from him, tells me, I miss you, mummy, in front of all the other mums. So they think, ah, but then behind closed doors, it's back to shouting, throwing stuff on the floor and telling me to be quiet. If this was a romantic relationship, it would be bordering on abuse and I'd be out. So the best solace is with other parents, right? But apart from the fact I think no parents want a play date with my child because my child is the naughty one, I'm now entering the realm of play dates and other parent etiquette now. I'm meeting new parents at the school gates. I can't seem to get it right, though. The other day I turned up to a picnic for a play day at the park and I seemed to be one of those mums that I forgot the rug, I forgot toys, I forgot half the food for the kids. But I thought, I know, I'll charm them with my wit. So the other day at the school gates, what happens at my school is all the kids line up and we have to wave to our child when we see them, but only then. And I leaned into one of the mums and I said, this bit always makes me think of picking up an evacuee child in World War II at the train station. Nothing, just dead air from the mum next to me who now thinks I'm terrible. So in honour of our guest today, I ask, how do I own it with other parents, with my children? How do I own my life? That will all become a bit more clearer later. Let's meet our panel today. It's founder of Comedy Virgins and now MCing twice a month. She's our fave regular panellist. She's the salt to my pepper. She's the Pepsi to my Shirley. She's the eagle piggle to my upsy daisy. I've been doing these every episode. Now I've got to keep going. A top tip for kids with eye infections is stick some sunglasses on them and send them to school. It's Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
Woo! 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 So next, our guest panelist. She's the first time on the Funny Mummies podcast, but she has come on my various other shows before. She's an author, journalist, stand-up, improviser, podcaster with 5 Edinburgh shows and 3 books under her always gorgeous skirt belt. Her latest book, How to Own the Room, Women and the Art of Brilliant Speaking, has also become a very successful and addictive podcast. I'm addicted to it. Here, there's another book to be launched next year with stand-up gigs, a regular, our very own Scream of Laughter lunchtime show, and she has 3 children. How does she own it all? I'm very happy and slightly nervous because I'm kind of fangirling now, Viv, over my own friends.
Silly.
I am. Silly. It's because I've been listening to you in like a professional, do you know what I mean? It's Viv Groskop. Woo! Yay. I said to my husband, I said, I've had Viv on the show loads of times, but I'm really nervous today.
Is that because you've been listening to the podcast a lot?
Which is about presentation and presenting.
Power, presence.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I made so many mistakes in the beginning, but I said funny mummies, monies. What was I talking about?
No, but you've got a lovely, natural, relaxed style. So it doesn't matter if you say anything.
That's all right.
Like
thanks,
it's
then.
Fine.
I'm the John Peel of the sort of parenting world.
I feel like I've done a bad job, if you feel like that, because on the podcast, I try to talk as little as possible.
Yes, you do.
Because I want the other people to, you know, have room to speak. So.
No, I don't mean that you've like made me feel like, you know, sit up, Hattie. I mean, like, just the whole content of the
podcast. You should, though, Hattie. Podcast. You should sit up.
I should sit up.
Yes.
But I have got, it is a great podcast, and I haven't read the book. I'm sorry.
Why should you read the book? Why should you? One of the reasons I did the podcast of this How to Own the Room is because I realised that loads of women want to talk about this subject of how to get confidence. You know, women who go on TV all the time, where do they get their confidence from? All of that. And it's got people like Nigella Lawson and Mary Portas and this amazing 27-year-old who's a huge speaker in the tech world called Anne-Marie Imafidon, who got a maths GCSE when she was 9. It's got all sorts of people like that on it. And I wanted to do it as a podcast for people who don't have time to read a book, because not
like
everybody
myself
has time or even wants to. Now I think that's why podcasts and audio content is so popular now. And you've even got people like, do you know Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote The Tipping Point? He has said he's got a new book out now, but he said that's the last book he's doing. He's only going to make audio content because that's where people's attention is.
Yeah, so, and I think the last bloody hard book that I read was yours, Viv. Well, I don't bloody read books. I ain't got time. If I can't, you know, I can walk between platforms with an audiobook or a podcast done. It's brilliant.
Hang your washing out.
This really interesting because there are loads of novelists.
She don't hang them out. She just throws it in the drawer, damp.
Sorry, there are loads of novelists now who say that if, like in their 50s or 60s, who say that if they were getting into writing now, they wouldn't write books. They'd write for TV. Because, you know, we get our storytelling and all the stuff we used to get from novels, we now get it from Netflix. And we're really excited about all of those shows in a way that we're not so excited now about fiction.
Do you think that? Do you read a lot, though? I feel like you do.
I do read a lot, yeah, but I think of myself as being quite old-fashioned that I do that. Because I'm a bit like, I always used to have this this girl I knew at university, and we thought that she read so much, we thought that she read 2 books at the same time, one on each like one on each side of her head. And I feel like I'm a bit like that.
So you can read really fast.
I can read really fast, and I'd rather read something than watch a video.
Really?
Yeah. And I've realised that nowadays that makes me a bit of a freak.
No, I'm envious, because if I am into a book, it is lovely, but I think at the moment it's just pure tiredness. But also, this is not funny at all, but I'm dyslexic and it's another thing. We're just so slow readers. And it's like, sometimes I have to read the page again. It's just like, and then I'm asleep.
Well, that's what podcasts and audio.
Yeah, so it's fun. Your podcast has been very inspiring to me. And I think it's, you know, I'm sorry if you've done the rounds and you've had to say all this loads of times, but it isn't just for people that are standing up in you know, big presentations or boardrooms or whatever. I feel like I've applied it to so many things in my life. I mean, it's obviously been very helpful for me doing stand-up, doing this, and some of it's stuff that I do know, but just reminding myself and talking about preparation.
Yeah,
and all
some
that.
Of it is quite a sort of hippie idea. And I was quite surprised when Nigella Lawson was interviewed on it. She said, it's not about owning the room, it's about owning yourself.
Yeah,
which is, that's quite a sort of hippie idea, and not everybody would be on board with that. But I love the idea of that. It's about feeling comfortable in yourself, feeling like you don't mind people judging you because you're okay with yourself. It's about how to lose self-consciousness is a lot of it. And it's not just for people who want to do a TED talk or try stand-up comedy or do brilliant presentations at work and all. You know, that some people need to do that. Some people really want to do that. It's really for people who want to feel confident about telling their children off, or you know, having a difficult conversation with their husband. You know, there are all these little moments, not that you have to be married, with their partner, it's all these moments in life where we might get that feeling inside and we're a bit like it's about calming that down and finding a way to talk and not losing your temper and all the stuff that I talk about that I call being happy high status. And you too will have learned how to do this easily, because you can't go on stage as a comedian or as an MC without being happy high status. You can't. I mean, some people do it as a character, you know, where you're putting people down or being bitchy or being right way above them in status, and that's part of the joke. You know, or somebody like a character like Jack D, you know, his character is like grumpy and I hate everybody sort of thing. But if you have a more of an MC kind of vibe, like a host vibe, you have to be happy high status. And that means,
although you could be sort of grumpy MC. I've seen a few grumpy MCs.
Yeah, it's not an excuse. You cannot be grumpy anymore.
Can you?
I think you can, but you can't, for example, victimise somebody in the room and take all your grumpiness out on them.
No. But you
if people start to think that it's real.
Yeah.
So this happy high status idea is like, whatever happens in the room is good. I can handle it. Everything's going to be fine. And it's a great way of thinking about things. It's kind of, it's a bit, a little bit Buddhist, a little bit Zen. It's about sort of tampering your ego down a bit.
But I think, I don't know if this is a link, but it is about, I sort of felt like I've been losing a bit of confidence lately, and I think that maybe some of that is because I'm in a world that's not my usual world. I'm with a load of parents that are, you know, God forbid if anyone were listening, they wouldn't be at all, because I don't think they like me. One loved me because I met her on an app called Mush, and I'm going to mention them because I want them to sponsor me, and that's a mum meeting app, and she's brilliant. And but unfortunately her kid's not in the same class as mine, so it's like over the playground, like but you're in that realm of like, these are not my people, as in I've just been thrown with them, a bit like, you know, if you go to university or whatever, you're thrown with people that are not, you know, we all come from different walks of life. And that's one thing, without sounding wanky, but you go into doing stand-up and you do, like us, we meet like-minded people. And for me, it was a big relief. But now I live in an area that's a bit, and yeah, the parents, I'm just struggling with them. Every time I go to talk, I don't just talk freely. I just sort of feel like I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. And yesterday we had this meeting where to go for this Jolly Phonics thing.
Oh my God, is Jolly Phonics still going?
Yeah. I love a Jolly Phonics.
And she said at the end, anyone got any questions? And it's that moment, isn't it? Like, I don't know about you, Viv, if you're ever in these situations where you think, oh, the poor woman, I feel like I've got to give her a question. That's how I feel. Or maybe you don't, but. And no one else was. I was like, right, get a question. And you just feel like everyone's looking at you or thinking, oh, look at her asking for a question. And I hate that I feel like that, because I don't want to feel like that.
Well, I think it's totally normal. I mean, it's interesting for me because you, Gemma, and you, Hattie, are both at the opposite end of the scale to me, because my kids are 16, 13 and 9. So I've got over that first days at the school gate, have to keep meeting new people thing, because you've both got ones who've just started reception. Mm-hmm. And I can remember that feeling of, oh, God, I've only just about got over the NCT thing of... I remember all of their names, and do I want to stay friends with them?
Yeah.
And that person who you bonded with so closely when your babies were both 3 days old turns out to be a complete nightmare, and you definitely don't want to be friends with them anymore. I've only just got over all that, and now you're thrown into this new set, and they're all the tensions around who's a working mother, who's not a working mother, all of those things. And somebody said to me back when I was going through all of that, probably when the first or second one was going through reception, for all of us, it's like going back to school.
It is.
Because we haven't been at school for you know, however many years, and all those feelings that you had of starting primary school or starting secondary school that you had yourself,
yeah,
of, oh my God, is anybody going to like me?
Yes.
Am I going to have any friends? Is anybody going to talk to me? Is anybody going to talk to me in the playground? So it sends you back, doesn't it? Did you feel that, Gemma?
Yeah, and I, you know, I mean, I'm in the first 2 weeks of it, and I'm kind of relying on my son to make the introductions, frankly, but he's very shy, and so he is no fucking help whatsoever to the, you know. And funny enough, you were saying about the raising the hands. He was crying, he didn't want to go to school the other day. He said, oh, I said, when I put my hand up, everyone looks at me.
Oh.
I said, well, don't put your hand up. He said, but what if I know the answer?
Love him. He's not shy once you get talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, if you talk to him...
I just feel that... Because surely you're going to be thrown with the towards the parents who your kids are... The parents of the kids that you're making friends with. Yeah. So I said, yeah, I'm kind of, and it doesn't seem right, but I am relying on him to make the introduction.
Has nobody started the WhatsApp group in your class yet then?
No.
No.
Oh, that becomes a bit of a disease, doesn't it?
Someone started the WhatsApp group, yeah.
Have they?
Yeah, yeah. So you get a little piece of paper in this book bag saying the name of the mum, saying if, you know, it's all very nice. You're saying, look, if you want to, this is my number, message me and I'll add you to this group.
What, like a torn up piece of paper that says, oh, join our secret. Do you want to join our WhatsApp?
Out.
Yes, no, maybe.
It was all typed out, special.
Timed out.
But it is quite handy. We had one for the NERT for the preschool as well. And, you know, it was handy. To be honest, a lot of time
what
I was
What goes on,
the...
in these WhatsApp groups?
The annoying bits are people that asking stuff like, what have they got to wear for, you know, book day tomorrow or something? It's like, just look on the letter. We've all had the letter. You know, stuff like that. That you're like, you're just being lazy because you don't want to. But then I've done it as well. But it's quite, yeah, it's just people saying stuff like that and just checking stuff. And in the summer holidays, I used it for who wants a play date. I'm on my own. And
that's a good use of the WhatsApp group.
That was quite good.
No, did you get a play date out of it?
Not a lot, no.
No, not a lot of.
They clearly do know you by reputation, Hattie. We were trying to make you feel good, but clearly you're not top of the play date list.
No support.
Oh, I'm just joking. I'm joking.
I just feel I'm very paranoid around WhatsApp, not because I think Mark Zuckerberg's spying on me, but because I always think that there's another group going on that I'm not. It hadn't been invited to where they're talking about.
But this is what's so toxic about all these things, and this is why school plays into it as well. But all of us think that there's some incredible party going on somewhere in the world, like a real one or a digital one, or what's that group that we're not invited to, or a mummy's play date that we're not invited to, or a coffee morning. There isn't.
No.
There isn't. And everybody thinks that there's this incredible thing going on and we're not in it. And it isn't happening. Maybe I am literally not invited to anything. And it really is happening. But oh no, I don't think it is happening.
Did you make new mummy friends when your kids first started that you've still got now? Or
what? Oh my goodness. I could write a whole book about this. It would be so incredibly boring.
Funnily, we do have a question related to that.
Okay.
But yeah, go on.
Yes, I've just had so many different friendship groups. One thing I think is really useful to think about this, okay, there's this amazing... American coachy guru type TV presenter person who's a bit like April, called Mel Robbins, and she talks a lot about parental friendships and mum groups and all of the paranoia that we get around them. And she says that you have to think that there are three types of friends: friends for a season, friends for a reason, and friends for life.
Often
the mummy friends or parent friends that we have are friends for a reason, and that reason is you have children the same age. And that is literally the only reason that you're friends.
Yeah.
And if they were to move away or the child were to change classes, you won't be friends anymore. And other people are friends for a season, which is, you know, oh, this year they're doing a judo class, and so, but next year you don't do that class.
But
you have to, I think, get comfortable with different kinds of friendships and not be thinking, oh, everybody has to be my friend for life. And get comfortable with the idea as well that you're not you. You know, like with some people, I'm sure they don't even know what my name is, but I'm Jack's mum.
Yeah.
And you have to get used to that as well. So for some people, I'm Vera's mum, or some people I'm Will's mum, some people I'm Jack's mum. And I'm fine with that. And I've had people in the audience at comedy gigs who I've said, oh, hi, thanks for coming. What's your name? And they've said, Viv, my name's Kelly and our children have been at the same school together for 7 years. And I've not recognised them known what their name is because I just know their child.
Yeah.
So you get used to having these quite odd friendships. And I think it's the key is to have three children. So you need to have another one,
God,
Hattie.
No, thank you.
Because by the time you get on to the third one, Gemma looks so disgusted.
Gemma looks like she's going to throw up.
She's actually going to be sick. By the time you get on to the third one, you're really relaxed and you know how to manage these things. And I'm much more relaxed and I love all of, I have to say this, don't I? I love all of the parents in Jack's primary school class and I'm the most relaxed with them.
I guess it's like, it's not that I don't, you know, don't love them. It's just, yeah, I think it's that thing. It's a classic of any situation for me. It's like when I'm in a sort of more settled place in myself, you don't care, do you? You're just like, either like me or not. But I think I've been going around. I haven't got a lot of my, it's called real friends. I hate saying that because there are a few now that I have gone out for drinks with. So now they're real friends, mummy friends. I forgot my train. Oh, what do you say on your podcast when you forget your train? I've forgotten the advice now.
Oh, I've
going blank. I love that episode. You talk about what happens when you go blank.
Sometimes when you go blank, you say, I know that everything I've said has been quite a lot to take in. So I'm just going to let you sit with that for a moment.
It's not come back
to
me.
It's really creepy and weird.
It's really creepy and weird.
I love doing that. I love that creepy weird thing.
Oh. maybe we should. It's a great time to play a song. And then we'll hear more about the book and, Mum and Friends. Well, we can move on to owning it with the kids. Shall we have your song, Viv?
Yeah, let's have this.
Do you want to... Is there any particular reason? Not that you need a reason, but if you've got one, it's nice.
I love Dolly. I love a bit of Dolly. I think this is... it would have to have a massive argument about which is the best Dolly. But this would is you? Definitely top three.
Okay. You're listening to The Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for The Other Woman Show.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
The 9 to 5. No one really has 9 to 5 anymore, really, not in this modern day.
Flexible
patterns.
Working from home.
Working
on Tuesdays
and Wednesdays. Early finish to pick up the kids on Friday.
With a 0 hours contract.
In my pants, in bed, on my laptop.
Keeping in touch, Dave.
I just keep going. You listen to The Funny Mummies. I'm Hattie Ashdown. Those lovely voices you heard was Gemma Beagley and Viv Groskop.
Hello.
Hello. So just to carry on from what we were just saying about...
Your disastrous relationships with other parents.
Yes.
At school.
But I thought it links...
Go for the dads. That's one of my pieces of advice.
Oh.
We're only talking about the mums here.
Well,
befriend a dad.
But I've been looking around because I was one of those. I was like, is it annoying to be that person? Because one started a WhatsApp group that was called the Mums of da da da, and I said, well, there might be some dads, and I thought I didn't want to be come across as a knob saying that. But I have a couple of male friends who are the sole carer, and one of the troubles they have is that they feel really excluded.
Nobody talks to them.
And so she was like, oh, yeah, no, of course, our dads. And purposely, this new group that's now been set up, I said, can you add to my husband as well? Because I just like him being on it, because otherwise it's just a gaggle of women, you know what they're like. No, I'm joking. But, you know, sometimes he might be picking him up from school and all that sort of thing. But
well, this is what's so weird about parenting and school life is that something like you've just said is totally uncontroversial.
Yeah.
And it's totally normal. And we all live, you know, lives where we don't think, I am a woman and therefore I must look after my children. A man must not be overly involved in this because he is a man and I am a woman. We don't think this anymore. And yet you go to school and it is a bit the mums are doing that.
It goes back a bit, yeah.
And there's, I don't know, because that's been going on for my eldest is 16. That's been going on for at least 10 years and it's still going on. It's just so weird.
Really?
The thing I was going to say is when you have the class reps as well, because we normally have two class reps. Do you have class reps?
No.
They would organise the WhatsApp group in and the school that I know. And the class reps are always a woman. It's always a mum. And this year, controversially, it's a husband and wife couple.
Combo.
And the man is very involved, which is great.
Love it.
But when I was a class rep one year, never to be repeated, it was the only year that no one gave a present to the class rep. The only year in the history of the school. And my friend Maggie, you know my friend Maggie. So Maggie and I are friends because our kids were in the, eldest kids were in the same class. And Maggie sent an email unbeknownst to me to the rest of the class to say, the other class rep was called Jude, a woman, my friend. And she said, is nobody going to get a present for Jude and Viv for being the class reps? And just no replied. And she didn't tell me about it for 3 years.
Oh, bless her.
But yeah, that's so. I'm not very good at managing these things.
So, what did you do wrong?
Jude and I were both working mothers, and we decided that there was just too much activity going on all of the time, and it made everybody feel really frenetic and that they were missing out.
Yeah.
And so, we just didn't do anything
right,
to take the pressure off everyone.
Sedentary.
People didn't like that. They wanted to have coffee mornings to go to.
Right.
Because I was just like, well, just organise your own coffee morning.
Yeah.
But then they were like, what are you here for if you're not organising coffee mornings?
I can see. It's like a few messages went on last night about the homework and already I could, you know, feel yourself going, well, I didn't do that with him. And you thought, oh, no, here we go. That's how it can start. And it's
my mother, the ex-teacher, Maria Beagley, she said to my sister-in-law, her daughter-in-law, do not join the PTA. Do not put your hand up for anything. Do not volunteer. And she did, like an idiot. Poor Patricia. And for 5 years, she has just been tearing her hair out, trying to get people to do stuff.
Yeah,
and my mum's there going, I bloody told you. So I'm heeding that advice.
Yeah, you have to be very careful because I've been in those conversations many times where I'm trying to be really nice to the person who's in the PTA and express my appreciation for what they're doing because then it means I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Mm. And that very quickly switches into, oh, I'm so glad you understand the pressure that we're under. Like, it'd be so great if you could lend a hand and you have to just go... Yeah. Don't open your mouth. Yeah. Don't nod. Don't move it.
Right.
Because any sign of like, oh yeah, I'd love to.
Chink in your armor.
You're in. Okay. You're in.
That's a good tip.
Next thing, you're running a tombola. You'd like that, though.
Oh, I once ran.
You like a tombola, don't you?
Why'd you look at me and think I'd like a tombola?
I'm sure I've seen you with a tombola.
Oh my God. Probably at one of my comedy nights. That's the sort of crazy thing.
You do a very good pseudo tombola. I'm going to coin that as an expression, a pseudo tombola at Screaming with Laughter, where people get prizes.
Yeah.
It's time tombola-esque.
Yeah.
Is it a meat raffle? Or not? You're a vegetarian.
No, it'd be a corn raffle.
Corn raffle.
Nobody wants to win the corn raffle. The time,
a waffle raffle.
I once ran the tombola at the school summer fete. It was the year that I was the class rep. And so me and the other class rep were so hated. We couldn't get anybody else to volunteer for any of the time slots. So we just did them all ourselves. So I did a 9-hour time slot on the tombola. And
that sounds like something you do for children in need.
Yeah.
9 hours.
And in the preparation for it, the day before, you have to set up all of the stuff and you gather in all of the things. And they had this thing in our school where everybody gets given an empty plastic pint glass and they have to fill it with sweets. And then the children can buy that for 50p or whatever. It's, don't get me started on the economics of school fairs because I've really strong feelings about that. Because you could buy a pint thing, and it would have £3 worth of sweets in it, but you could buy it for 50p. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway,
someone's been exploited.
So I was setting all this up and I suddenly realised that one of the pint glasses had celebrations in it, and it had Snickers, and it's a nut-free school.
Oh,
a nut-free school.
And I was just going to hide this because I'm irresponsible. And then another parent saw it and said, "There are nuts on this stall. There are nuts."
Did they?
And the entire preparation zone had to be cleared. Oh, all of those
bloody Chernobyl.
All of those contributions had to be thrown in the bin. And the whole thing had
been stuffing
redone.
Them in my mouth.
It was horrific. It was horrific.
Well, this brings on my next question, which is from a fan called Katie, and which is, why have you not written anything about parenting, Viv?
I love this like made up fan. Like, people are desperate for me to write about parenting.
Like Corbin, aren't you?
That's a very good question. When I was before I started doing stand up comedy and I did journalism, was my sort of 100% journalism. I, especially when my kids were very little, I wrote a lot about parenting. I was the authority on people who breastfeed their kids over the age of one. There wasn't a woman in the country who I didn't interview. I interviewed women who breastfeeding 8-year-olds. I'm not joking. I breastfed all of my children up to the age of one, and then I stopped. But I was obsessed with people who continue and why they do this, and I just found it so fascinating. So I wrote loads about that, and I always remember the one detail of that is people would say, people who were really into this, into the extended breastfeeding, it's called, would say, I always remember the moment when I saw a child feeding in outdoor shoes. So that is the definition of extended feeding, is if you are still feeding a child who's got its own shoes and can walk.
Mm.
With and Lily Kelly's
that
on whatever.
Is, yeah, exactly. And that is like a specific kind of idea and a specific image. And I was a bit like, I don't think I'm on board for that.
No.
I'm not on board. So anyway, I wrote loads about that. I wrote a lot about my own kids and my dynamic with them. And after a while, I just got to this moment, probably when my eldest one was about 5. And so I had 3 kids, and they're all kind of about under the age of 5, 6. And I just thought, Viv, are you Claire Rayner? You know, are you Claire Rayner? Are you Dr. Miriam Stoppard? You know, is this your vocation to write about this stuff for the rest of your life? And I was just, well, no, it's
but
not.
I don't want to be in that box.
Yeah, so I guess I've never wanted to write about it or write a book about it because I don't think I'm an authority on that. And I don't want to be an authority on that. I'm just some mug who ended up having children.
Is it because you want to keep that more private as well? Because I think you're very private about your husband. And I mean...
don't believe in pimping out things for likes. I've also kept my cat, Julian, very private.
What?
I hope you
appreciate. I don't think we even knew you had a cat.
How old's this cat?
Now it's out of the bag. Yeah, so I don't believe in pimping things out for likes. And also, like, as people who have got kids of the same age as mine will know, like my eldest two are 13 and 16, they don't like it.
Yeah, you get to a certain age.
Like, you know, and
they
need to have their own privacy. And I find it really interesting to see all of these people who've made a whole career and a brand out of being a mummy, and you know, literally hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, and it's all the pictures of the children and branding and advertising and all of that. I'm really interested to see what's going to happen to that generation of children when they hit 9, 10, 11, 12, because I think some of them are going to be quite angry.
Well, some of them, like Mother Pucker, she blanks out her children now. They have a little emoji over her face, or I think she did a spread for somebody, a big Telegraph maybe, I don't know, and she just, they're really beautiful photos taken, but like one child was facing the other way, you know, so she obviously said I don't want them in the public eye. And a few do that. Catherine Ryan doesn't show her child. Scummy Mummies now don't, but there are a lot of Instagram that do, and it's a difficult one, but depending on what you do on Instagram, I guess, maybe, I don't know, the influencer world.
I mean, I was, because, you know, there's a lot of parenting podcasts, there's a lot of parenting literature out there and blog and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, you didn't fall, they were, but I'd said to Hattie that it's just interesting that you didn't continue with that writing about parenting?
Yeah, sorry, how, that was Gemma's question.
Given how
Gemma's my fan.
Given how just how much of that stuff there is now.
Yeah, I think it's, for me personally, I felt like it was a bit of a trap.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, in inverted commas, and I don't even want to say it, I'm not a mummy. I am not a mummy. Mm. I am me.
Yes.
And I happen to have been, to them, I am their mummy. Mm. Oh, I feel really weird now saying mummy all the time. But I find it weird and I just wouldn't like it. I think if I had really wanted to do it seriously, then I would have retrained and got a qualification in gynecology. And, I think if you want to do that really seriously, then do it seriously. Otherwise, it's a bit odd. It's a bit like, would I write about my marriage all the time?
Yeah.
Mm. No, of course I wouldn't.
I think you're in a perfect position in your career because you can do so many different
avenues.
It's about you.
It's about you.
Well, I'm more interested in following where my interests are.
Yeah.
And what I think is new and entertaining or insightful, all those kind of things. And I do think I think you're in a certain zone as well, especially when your kids are maybe under the age of 7 or 8. There's this amazing novel by Meg Wolitzer called The 10-Year Nap. And she calls that motherhood a 10-year nap. And it definitely isn't a nap, as in you're not asleep, but you're kind of asleep from the rest of the world.
Yes.
Because you're in your parenting bubble and you're all of your stuff is exactly this very intense conversation we're having about Schoolgate friendships and, oh my God, there's this meeting and this WhatsApp. You're very much in that zone. And there comes a moment when you just come out of that and you realise oh my God, there's a whole world out here.
Mm. Your head comes through the clouds a bit.
Well, you go into it. I guess it's a period, isn't it? Because you go into it and then you come out of it. It stops being a thing.
Yeah, and I feel really weird sometimes when I see those groups of women in Starbucks or somewhere where they've all got new babies and it's their first outing out for their NCT group and the babies are the size of a ball of knitting. They're tiny little babies and they're all bonding with each other and they're completely obsessed and they'll have a 5-hour conversation about whether Huggies are better than Pampers or that kind of thing. And that's totally normal. Normal because that is where
matters.
Matters. But I think that's why I say with this podcast, it's the parenting podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts, because some people don't want to talk all the time about teething or whatever. And I, for one, I guess maybe that's why I've got no parent friends, is I think because it's our common interest, you're going to go, oh, did little Frank eat the school dinner yesterday? And that's all fine. But after a while, I try to change the subject because I think, I don't want to just talk. Do you know what I mean? You're just talking about them. And I just think, we're all bored of that, aren't we? But maybe they're not. Maybe that's why they don't want to hang out with me. But and that's why Screaming with Laughter, for me, the lunchtime comedy club where you can bring your babies, is to take people. Obviously, we get a lot of acts that are parents and they talk about parenting. But I try to balance it up with having an act who isn't a parent and talk about something completely different. And a lot of the time we will get mums and dads that will thank us afterward. And even though they might not be laughing out loud because they're too tired and distracted. But it's nice because they've been taken out of that bubble. So I get it. Yes, that's all you're concerned about. But sometimes you just need to remember that other part of your brain a bit. I think
definitely. I do think that there's so much judgment though. That's the interesting thing. I think sometimes if you're doing that thing you were talking about, Hattie, where you're trying to move the conversation away from have you tried pureed sweet potato instead of pureed carrot? I mean, I can barely even remember what this conversation would be. I would have been an expert on that conversation 10 years ago. You're trying to move it on, but you don't want to be the person who's saying, oh, you really should be watching Big Little Lies, or you really should be reading this book or listening to this podcast, because it can make you seem as if you're saying, oh, I'm so sophisticated, I have time to read books and watch all the best programs on Netflix. And you don't want to be that person who's making everybody else feel inadequate for having these very mundane concerns. It's such a difficult kind of dance,
isn't it? You just reminded me of when I went for a first drink with some of my NCT friends, and one of them brought up masturbating, and I was like, yes, now let's get on board.
I mean, at the table was probably a little bit
But
and well, the other thing as well that's really interesting, I'm interested to know from you guys if this still happens, it can go very anti-men as well, these conversations, when they do turn towards sex or relationships or something other than nappies and sweet potato puree. Yeah. Yeah. It's all kinds of, oh my God, my husband does this. Isn't that a nightmare? Does your husband do that too? Oh, and it becomes this competition of whose husband is the most
But that's a bonding thing, isn't it? Because we bond over when we moan.
But it's a crappy kind of bonding, isn't
it? No, I agree. But that is why people do it for centuries to, you know.
And then you can't be the one who says, actually, my husband is an equal parent and he contributes.
I wouldn't actually do it, but I'd want to punch that woman in the face.
Exactly. So you can't so I wouldn't want to be that woman. And equally, there are some people in situations who where they are looking at the one who's complaining about the husband and thinking, you have no idea how lucky you are.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I'm seeing more and more why many of them don't want to hang out with me. Because I'm very lucky that my husband does all the cooking. So they're going, oh, I've got to get home to cook dinner. I go, oh. And like...
awful for you.
And I go, oh, he's already done it. Or whatever. But, oh, God, my cheek's really hurting. Sorry. Just telling the girls about my domestic... accident when I was getting a tray down from up my house is the state at the moment, and I don't know about you, I've got the trays piled up above the fridge, leaned up to get the tray, and the Pyrex dish was next to it, and it was falling. It was like slow motion. I thought, that bastard is not falling on the floor, and I'm not clearing that up glass tonight. And I stopped it like with my face. And now it just feels like I've been punched by Pyrex.
Well, you have been punched by Pyrex.
On that note, we're gonna run out of time because we've got that lovely question from an actual listener. And she said, Viv, how do you own the room with moody teenagers?
Moody teenagers. Well, I think it's very similar to moody toddlers, actually. And a lot of the stuff I talk about, especially in events for how to own the room, where people ask lots of questions and they'll be often talking about work problems, like how do I get heard in this meeting, or how do I cope with this boss who always shuts me down, all that stuff. And I think a lot of it is about picking your battles and letting go of moments that you can't win. And often with teenagers, you can't win all of the time. And toddlers as well, am I right, ladies? Yeah. You just can't win. So there are lots of moments when you just have to take a deep breath, realize that this is going to turn into an argument where one of you might say something you regret and walk away.
Okay. And have you done this?
Oh yeah, all of the time. All of the time. Especially because with teenagers, you know, it's like with toddlers, they don't want to accept no and they have to learn no. Mm. Well, with teenagers, they're going to explain why it's not no. But you know it is no. So I've just had this thing with Will, who's 16, and he wants to go and see, it's called something like Thy Blood Is My Art. Do you know, it's a death metal group. He wants to go and see this death metal group with his friends in Brixton. And Simon, my husband, and I, we looked them up on YouTube, and it is a man who's actually like really old. He looks about the same age as me. He going, that's the song.
That is death metal
and
for you.
And he wants to go and see that, and I'm okay with that. And I was trying to say,
do you feel good after that?
I was saying, actually, the bass line is quite well developed. It's quite well developed, and the drums are not bad, but it is a man going, for like hours and hours. But I said, you know, I don't really want you to go to this because I don't know what other sorts of people will be going. You're not going with an adult.
Oh, God.
You don't know
all
this
the
part
classic
of,
pair of
I know,
lines.
You don't know this part of London. And then the killer.
Oh, no.
You can go, but I'll go with you.
Viv Grosskopf at a death metal concert. Come on, I'd go. I'll come.
And guess what? We're not
I'm looking at Gemma and her face is doing a face of like, yeah, what's the problem?
Guess what?
I'm coming.
Guess what? They don't want to go anymore.
Yeah.
What, because you want to go?
Oh, yeah.
They but don't you go not? See, this is my worry with teenagers.
I told them I would
stand... They're just going to go anyway without getting permission. They're going to say they're at the library like they do in American movies.
The library?
They're going to say they're at the library, but really they've gone to see...
I did promise as well that I would stand separately. I had this image of myself dressed as a librarian, perhaps with a clipboard and a whistle. And I would stand separately in the gig and they can just go off and do whatever, but I'll watch them.
Right.
And I could watch other people as well. I could be almost like one of those vigilantes. This would be a great role.
I mean,
for
you
me,
would
actually.
Be. I went to a hardcore punk gig once and I was wearing a cardigan. And I stood out of the way, but it did not stop people coming, thrusting towards me, not trying to punch me, but just, it was awful. And all I can just hear is that, really. It's just that noise. And men just punching each other. And there was blood and people ripped T-shirts and I was wearing a cardigan. And it's like, right, okay, I've done that tick. I'm not doing
they
that again.
They didn't understand the social message that your cardigan represented.
No, who was the rebel in that situation? Moi. This guy.
Yeah, so the upshot of all of that is sometimes no is no for teenagers, and right. they're never going to accept it. And so you just have to walk away to avoid turning it into
wow.
confrontation.
But in that sitch, right, did you get the outcome that you wanted? So you just essentially you wanted him not to go.
Oh,
so were you manipulating if he'd gone, all right then?
That's a really interesting question. No, I wanted it to have a I actually would like him to be able to go, but I want him to understand that, yeah, and maybe in 6 months' time he will be able to go, or maybe if they were going in a slightly bigger group. You know, we had all of this discussion of, you know, I don't know the two people you want to go with.
Right.
It all sounds a bit disorganised. And in the end, he had to sort of admit that all of these things were true.
Mm.
But I'd said, you can go with me if you find another adult. That you can go with them. So no, I didn't want him to stop him from going, because who am
I
to stand between him and
what were you going to do? Like, if he said all right then, what were you going to do?
Oh, I would be fascinated.
Would you protect
to go?
Him from whatever it was that you were scared of happening?
I would that is a very good question.
Yeah, yes.
I'd like to think that if things are getting a bit messy, I would say, okay, you've seen enough now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time
yeah.
to go home. And I would be more than willing to accept their hatred and force them to leave.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I might just buy tickets anyway now and say, oh, you know that concert
that
you wanted
it
to go
so
to.
My young days, I don't mind a bit of punk. And I didn't like heavy metal. I did have a boyfriend that liked that sort of thrash metal. And
we also have arguments about T-shirts that I think are extremely violent, and I always give in.
What, like what?
Like a picture of somebody approaching you with a very large hammer on the face of the T-shirt.
Yeah. My husband, a heavy metal fan, and there's a band called Cannibal Corpse. And they have, it's like a skeleton being assaulted with a crucifix by someone else on a bed and stuff, and it's just like, can you put those away now we've got a baby? Yeah,
we've not got long to go. I don't even know if we should just keep going and then end on the song, or have a song and then, what do you think?
I think keep going.
Do you think keep going?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. We'll end on your song, Gemma. What a way to end.
That's not why I said it.
Oh,
it I don't
is.
Want you to. Yeah.
She wants.
Well, I was
moment.
Just thinking as Gemma was talking, that I'm feeling a bit hypocritical in this conversation, because I am wearing a T-shirt of Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, of course you are.
And I just realised that
I made
Will, my son, watch Handmaid's Tale with me.
Did you?
And that's a terrible thing to have done.
Did disturb
because,
him?
Yeah. Because basically he had to watch enforced rape with his mother.
Why?
With me saying, I hope you understand that in a consensual relationship, this is not lovemaking. This is wrong. And he was just going, Mum, shut up, please. Like, I know this is hideous. It's a dystopian society. Like, I understand.
Oh, bless.
Just shut up, okay? But what you have to understand, that when a man and a woman love each other very much, they're romantic with each other. It's really not like this. You need to understand this is wrong. Mum, I know. Yeah, so I've done that to him, and I should apologise for that. And funnily enough, he didn't want to watch series two.
I didn't want to watch series two. I didn't see the point of it, frankly.
Well, but we're on series three now, aren't
we? I've just finished watching series three.
I haven't watched it yet. Every time we go to watch it, Alex goes, oh, I'm really so depressing.
It's not cheerful.
I think I'm going to have to watch it on my own. Right. Didn't we just do a little checklist of anything that I might have missed? We've sort of covered everything. Is there anything?
Everything.
Yeah, everything in the whole world we've owned. We've owned it. Your next book, can you briefly tell us? Well, this sounds so exciting.
The How to Own the Room stuff has been a lot about putting yourself out there and feeling confident and feeling really good about doing a job interview or a difficult conversation. But the stuff that has really been coming up in the events and all of the feedback that I've had from readers is about a lot of the stuff that goes on behind closed doors. So getting yourself psyched up to have a talk about why you want to get more money at work, having a conversation with somebody about a friend who's being really difficult and is annoying everybody, but you think all those things that you need confidence for, those things you don't quite know how to manage them. So the new book that I'm writing is called Lift As You Climb: Women and the Art of Ambition, and it's about getting on in life without screwing anybody else over.
Love it.
So it's trying to manage all those little moments whilst me admitting in it as well that I don't necessarily always get it right.
And you've screwed a lot of women over.
I have screwed over as many women as possible.
It's like a trail of destruction behind her.
It is.
Just women lying on the ground.
Yeah, so I want others to learn from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are you pro or against that open quote?
Yeah, so I'm exploring that at the moment.
We'll come back, talk about that.
That's coming out next March.
Because I'm sure that will... Yeah, definitely relate to a lot of, because we didn't even get time to talk about any mums that, you know, going back to work is can be frightening if you've just been at home in that hubbub of watching Lorraine every day with the baby and then maybe even going to a new career and all that kind of jazz. So that's for another day. We'll end on your song, Gemma. Anything you want to big up, ladies? Anything or yourself? It's up to you.
I want to just give a shout out to Screaming with Laughter for anybody who hasn't been to it. You can only really go to it for quite a concentrated period of your life, couldn't you? If you need a baby under the age of 12 months.
You can.
But if you know anybody who needs to get out of the house and needs to go something fun in the daytime, are you still London only? Are you branching out?
Yeah, I keep meaning to do one in Leeds. Someone wants me to do, and it hasn't happened yet. But people can if the kids are at school and they just want, you know. Because let's face it,
pop in at lunchtime.
I'm tired to go out at night now, and so if you've got kids at school, come for a lunchtime drink, especially at the Ballam, get 50% off. Come for some lunchtime comedy. I mean, you might have to put up some baby screaming, but you might even get a cuddle with one.
Yeah, I think that.
Thanks, Jem.
That initiative is revolutionary.
Oh, thanks, Viv, for big enough.
It is social care.
It is. So why this song, Gemma?
Well, you know, what can I say about these guys? I just feel that I still have an ambition, to become a member of this girl group. And I just feel that my life would be perfect if I was able to be a member of this girl group. There's still time.
There is always time. On that note, thank you very much, Viv Groskop and Gemma Beagley. This is My Loving on Bold. You've been listening to The Funny Mummy. Listen to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, in association with Screaming with Laughter for the Other Woman radio show on Soho Radio. Thanks to all my guests and panel today, and edited and produced by Charlotte Kingston. We'll be back every month for another dose of Mum and Tonic.
Happy Mother's Day!